Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Unpopular. How is everybody? Did you watch the Oscars? I did not because I don't care and I never watch the Oscars. But of course, I checked the Daily Mail. I checked Page Six. Shout out Page Six. I just love their layout. I'm a big Page Six fan. I'm a big New York Post fan. Get rid of all the newspapers except New York Post and Page Six. We don't, and Daily Mail, of course, and get rid of the rest. Lady Gaga is such an elite level publicity whore. So first, she helped the photographer that fell over on the red carpet. So yeah, one of the photographers like tripped over and Lady Gaga rushed over. Oh, are you okay? And like helped him up and everyone was like, oh wow, like Lady Gaga in her like $10,000 gown stopped posing for photos and helped one of the little men. Isn't she just one of us stars? They're just like us. And she got all of the attention from that. The whole media cycle was about that moment up until, you know, like Best Picture is announced and Best Actress and stuff. So she kind of like overshadowed the whole red carpet with that. Now, was this planned or was this just good fortune? I guess we'll never know. I mean, someone messaged me that's in the game and they said, I bet she paid that photographer to do that. I don't know if she would do that, but her quick thinking definitely like created a moment. And then she had a performance. I don't know what she was singing. I think she has like a song from Top Gun. I haven't heard it, but she performed with like no makeup. And it was funny because she did the red carpet in like literally like old school, like hooker makeup. Like it was so much. It was like a lot. And I thought her dress was fucking amazing. She also showed some like butt crack in the dress. And that got some headlines and stuff too, but I actually thought the dress was like very beautiful and like it was revealing, but in a tasteful way. I nearly said in a tasty way. Well, I guess it was tasty as well if you're into, you know, seeing butt crack from the back, but she had so much makeup on. It looked fucking crazy. And then she like wiped it all off and did, you know, a raw performance. It's just me in like jeans and she may have been barefoot. I'm not sure. And just like a tank top. And that was a whole vibe too. That got so much press. That was like the banner on Daily Mail when I checked Daily Mail. And yeah, what a genius move. Like who thinks of that? Like she is galaxy brain when it comes to publicity. Remember the egg, when she did the red carpet in the egg, when she wore the meat dress, of course, which is like sort of one of the most iconic red carpet moments ever. Even when she did her celebrity fragrance, she said that it smelled like blood and semen. Now, did it smell like blood and semen? Of course not. It was just like a generic celebrity sweet fruity floral perfume. But she said it smells like semen and blood. And then everyone went out to smell it because they're like, oh, does it really smell like this? So she's just like killing the game at that. So shout out to her. As far as the Oscars are winners and losers, it was very generic and to be expected. Tar and Blonde lost and the fatties and minorities won. Very typical. It's the way that these things always go. It's the kind of stuff that always gets awarded like this. Tar and Blonde were just way too counterculture for the Oscars. The fact they even like got made and like made it to the Oscars and were nominated was like pretty incredible. Like, especially in Blonde's case, because that is like quite a shocking film just in terms of like the content and how extreme it is. And that was on Netflix, which blew my mind. And then to like get to the Oscars, I mean, it was deserved because her performance, the actress was like fucking incredible. But yeah, and like White Lotus, that slipped through the cracks because, you know, that's another counterculture show, but that's a Trojan horse because it has the bumbling Jennifer Coolidge doing, you know, like shticky bits for the gays and there's a murder mystery. Who's the killer? Oh my God, I'm on Reddit. Did you see the Easter egg on this episode? Who's the killer? So like people can get distracted by that and there's enough in there for like the liberal mainstream critics to be like, oh, who did it? Who's the killer? This is about rich people. Aren't rich people the worst? These characters are unlikable. So they can do that and then they don't have to grapple with like the deeper themes of the show. Blonde is just like too offensive. So I didn't think that like that would win anything really. And Tar is like way too sophisticated. And as like a meditation on cancel culture, the Oscars is not fucking ready to award a movie with that kind of messaging the Oscar. So they give it to Brendan Fraser in his fucking fat suit, of course. The whale is like just the typical classic Oscar. Like, it's some fucking cloying Oscar bait, like, the struggle is real, I'm fat and ugly, and of course you're going to win. So that got, I mean, I haven't seen it. It doesn't look good. And then Michelle Yeoh for that Everything at Once, whatever it's called, an Asian one, the first Asian. They had to say it was the first woman that identifies as an Asian, because some other Asian one, like, back in the day, but she, like, pretended to be white, so, because she didn't want to get discriminated against, because, like, fucking back in the day when everyone really was racist, not just when, like, people were like, that's a microaggression, when, like, people actually wouldn't give you a job and stuff for not being white, so she lied about that. Of course, the fatties and the Asians got it. I don't know if her performance is that great or not. I haven't seen the film. I do want to watch it. I need to watch it when I can just accept the movie for what it is and not have, like, preconceived notions of it being, like, the lame, like, Oscar film, and, like, all the worst people love this movie and champion it on Twitter, which is, like, a really bad sign, but the movie could be really good. So I just want to be able to watch it clean and without bias. So I've just left it sitting on the shelf for a while until I can go in with an open mind. But I will say, all the fucking press that I've seen from it is just, like, diversity press. They're Asians. Like, I don't really know that much about the movies. An Asian's gonna win. Like, that's all they talk about. Even Michelle Yeoh, like, she posted something on her Instagram. Like, she reposted an article from, like, BuzzFeed or New York Times or something like that. And it was like, you know, we need an Asian to win. And then Michelle Yeoh especially, so she can get meatier roles and advance her career. Like, she actually posted that. It looks so thirsty and desperate. Like, girl, you really want this. Like, good. I'm glad you fucking got it, because you were that desperate enough to, like, post that on your Instagram. Even though, was your performance better than Cate Blanchett? I have not seen this movie, but I'm going to bet no, because that performance from Cate Blanchett in Tar was definitely one of the best of, like, the decade, probably. I mean, Cate Blanchett gets a, like, best performance of the decade, like, every few movies, because she's that fucking good. Hello, we've talked about this before. Blue Jasmine, Carol, like, she is that girl. Like, you're not going to out-act her. She's a much better actress than Meryl Streep, in my opinion. Meryl Streep is very just, like, measured. Like, she was so bad in, what was it? The Big Little Lies, when she's, like, screaming at the table. It was, oh my God. She's just, like, so affected. It's the worst. Like, I like some old school Meryl Streep, like Kramer vs. Kramer. Give me that. Like, new school Meryl, no buy. Like, Cate Blanchett fucking runs rings around you, girl. But yeah, the fatties and the Asians won, and people still weren't happy with that, because Jamie Lee Curtis, I guess she won over one of the Asian broads in the Everything Everywhere at Once. Why did this old white lady win over her? Like, people on Twitter were upset about it. I'm like, okay, it wasn't enough that the Everything at Once got, like, every, like, I think it was, like, one of the most awarded films, maybe. I don't know. It got a lot. Like, I think it got, like, best picture, like, best actress. We probably got best director, I think. Like, it got, like, pretty much all the big ones except fatty Brendan Fraser. So you think they'll be happy with that? And I mean, it's, girl, it's Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, I know she's annoying as fuck. She's so annoying if you watched The Housewives of Beverly Hills, but she's a decent actress. I don't know if she's, like, the best actress, but she's, like, iconic. Like, Halloween. Like, Halloween OG. Halloween OG is the best well-made slasher movie ever, along with, like, Psycho. It's, like, Psycho and Halloween. So she, I mean, she deserved it at this point. And you know what? Shout out Halloween Ends. I thought that was fucking incredible. A lot of people hated it. You're all wrong. It's going to age really well. It is definitely, like, one of the best ones. I have a great episode today, by the way. Shallon Lester is back. The YouTube star, dating guru, cougar. She's many things. She wears many hats. She's been on the show a bunch of times. I'm going to stay with her in Montana. She's become a really good friend, and I just loved this episode. We talked about so much stuff. We talked about OnlyFans. We talked about Ozempic because Shaolin is like the Ozempic OG, which you'll hear about. We talked about pegging, Meghan Markle. I did not want to talk about Meghan Markle, but a lot of you were like, we need your takes on Meghan Markle. So I gave it to you. So don't say that I don't do anything for you. We talked about dating. We talked about vaccines, of course, because Shaolin and I are very passionate about this. Definitely on the same page on that. Talked about Livy Dunn, the gymnast baddie. And we talked about Raquel from Vanderpump Rules. And this is my first episode, actually, on the main free feed since the Scandoval broke. Now, I have been talking about the Scandoval, just not on here. I think the last episode I did here was about the ADD and the trans stuff. And then I've actually dropped two Patreon episodes on the Scandoval. So if you're not on the Patreon, but, you know, you want all my Bravo shit, definitely go there. Patreon.com/unpopularjp. There's two Tom Sandoval episodes there. I also went on Zach Peter's show right after it broke, a couple of days after it broke. And we did something on, he has like a paywalled YouTube thing. We did an episode there. Then I went on someone else's podcast. It was like an Instagram thing. The Rumor Mill, these two kids, they're really young. They're like Gen Z, I think like 20. Yeah, so this is the first one on here since the Scandoval happened. I've had fun talking about it. I'm not burned out on it yet. I think it's a story that's going to go for a long time. I feel sorry for everyone that doesn't watch Vanderpump. Actually, I don't feel fucking sorry for people that don't watch Vanderpump Rules because one of the best shows ever, you have to watch it. Like, it's a must. Okay, let me say this. If someone actually asked me, I'm not even kidding, if they were like, oh, give us your like best shows of, you know, the last like decade or two that you've got to recommend to people to watch. And I'll be like, okay, I'll be like, you know, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Adventure Time, love Adventure Time. Guys, don't get me started on Adventure Time, my favorite. I would have a lot of these prestige shows, probably Succession, shout out Succession, but I would put Vanderpump Rules on there because it's just the best fucking soap. It's so great. I really think it's like prestige, must watch, trash, iconic. It's everything. Now, I've been saying this everywhere I go, every podcast I do, whether it's my Patreon, whether it's someone else's, I'm like, you guys have to watch Vanderpump Rules. You can skip season one. Season one is not the best. I kind of think, though, that because Vanderpump Rules as a whole is, like, just so legendary, you kind of should watch season one just to have that reference point, just to understand the whole vibe of everything. But if you, like, absolutely are like, I just need to watch as little as possible, just watch the reunion at the end then so you can get the little, like, bits. Because you do need to see about, like, Jax and Stassi because that's a big part of the show. And then seasons, like, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are just masterpiece TV. You're not going to get better than it. It's better than The Housewives. The same fucking people that will watch the same episode of The Housewives of, like, season 4, episode 12 of Housewives of Roni, up to my 10th rewatch, but then they won't watch Vanderpump Rules. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, just fucking watch it. My takes on, you know, the Scandoval have aged really well. It's only been, like, a week and a half, but I refuse to get on the Ariana woe is me bandwagon. I refuse to get on the moral outrage and the pearl clutching. I was just team entertainment. I was kind of like shit posting about Raquel and like, you know, like I stan Raquel, but like it wasn't that deep. I'm just like, this is fun. This is like going to be great TV. We're all like enjoying this. It is what it is. And I didn't like clutch my pearls. And I feel like now that like sort of a week has passed and the dust has settled, way more people are sort of on my side with this because all of the cast came out bashing Raquel. And it just looked like mean because like they're all such hypocrites. People like, it's not the same. It is the same. Like they've all done the fucking same shit to like varying degrees. Like, okay, Raquel's might be like a bit worse, but like, none of these people are fucking saints. And like Lala led the charge as like the absolute, like every time she opens her mouth, so cringe, so embarrassing. She's the worst. So everyone just looks like shit that's just like piling on Raquel. And I think people got a little rattled of like, wait, we want to kind of enjoy this and like have fun. Like, do we need to be so outraged? Because when the scandal first broke, it was scary, like, as in the reaction from people, because yes, it's a bombshell, but people can't simply go, oh my God, this is a juicy bombshell. It has to turn into just complete and utter madness. You know, the white twinks and the fucking Bravo wine mums were just not okay. there was a fake news frenzy. The amount of fucking fake shit that was being shared around because people were so desperate for any little like morsel of information that it's like every like anonymous Dumois post or every comment like people would freak out on. People were going back and watching every little video and clip of Raquel and Tom that's ever existed and then, you know, making things up. It's the, again, the true crime culture too with these fucking Karen ass people that are on like the Reddits all day doing the true crime stuff, which like I get it, whatever, it's fun, but it's like you guys can't just leave the true crime at the true crime. You've got to take the true crime into every other aspect of your life and entertainment. So just with like a fun reality show, then you like true crimeify it and it's just fucking annoying. Like calm down. You know, one thing that chicks like to do, sorry if this sounds sexist, it's not sexist actually, it's just a fucking fact because I've noticed it since I've been online more with the podcast. Women love to fucking like zoom in on a photo and like notice some shit that like no man would ever see. Like, oh my God, look at Raquel's foot. It's ugly. And you're like, what are you talking about? And then like they'll zoom in, there'll be like a small blemish. And you're like, oh, okay. I think she photoshopped this. How can you tell? They zoom in, they'll be like, see, it's like, it's crooked here where she like cinched in her waist. And you're like, I don't know, kind of like, I can't really see it. Like they just fucking love to do that. So they've been having a lot of fun, like zooming in on a lot of photos and the moral outrage, like it just got really embarrassing those first few days. It was just so full on. Like I had to delete comments off my Instagram. I posted just a funny comment that Spencer Pratt posted on Twitter. He just said, my only advice to Raquel is don't quit the show, which is like, you know, the best advice ever. She's the most fucking talked about reality star in the world for the last week. Like, you don't want to quit the show, girl. Like, ride this out. Like, be a superstar. You know, don't, like, let the hate that you're getting and the bullying and stuff bring you down. Like, just ride it out. So very good advice. And people couldn't even, like, just have fun with, like, Spencer Pratt giving some, like, you know, silly reality TV publicity advice. People were like commenting on my Instagram. And these are people that like don't follow me because the people that follow me are like cool and you get it and you like know what's up. But like I got the fucking drive-by Bravo fans, the ones that are on those meme pages that I hate. They're like, I'm not watching that cunt. I was like, oh my God, like calm down. Like this isn't normal. Like Tamara commented on the page and they were like leaving, like she just did a normal comment. She just said good advice or something and people were like responding to it, flipping out, and I had to like delete their comments. So it was just, it was scary. It's not normal behavior, of course. It had the same feeling as the BLM era, like racial outrage over everything of when people were trying to fire people. Lara Marie on Sexy Unique Pod, which is like the only cool Bravo pod that exists besides, you know, mine when I do Bravo. And she was like, I swear to God, if you guys with your fucking fake moral outrage, like get Raquel fired and Tom fired, like I'll never forgive you. Because yeah, it was like that for a few days. Fire them. We can't watch them. Like no one's going to film with them. Get rid of them. Like, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this is the show. Like, this happens every season of the show. It's not even the worst thing that's happened on the show. Jackson Faith was worse than this just because it was like, it involved having sex in front of a dementia patient that was like in hospice and then like recording it and then like sharing the recording around. That was some like whack shit. Like this is, people had an affair, like they happen. But I will say it has calmed down a little bit from what it was at, but those first few days was just so fucking unhinged. And it really highlighted how the social media has changed Bravo, and that's a point that I always bring up here. And when I sort of was like, you know what, I'm really not going to cover much Bravo on my pod anymore, and I'm going to put it on Patreon because I sort of wanted to like disassociate from the social media-ness of it all, because it's just, it's crazy and warped. Because like back in the day, there was a lot of hatred for like Kristen Doty, which is funny because people love Kristen Doty now. We want Kristen back. Like back in those early seasons when Kristen was just the crazy cheating villain that was like having sex with everyone and getting drunk and like slapping James and just like the whole insanity of it all, people hated her. And like, yeah, people would go, yeah, she's horrible. And you would see like nasty comments about her on the Daily Mail, but the whole Bravo fandom hadn't, you know, it wasn't ruled by Instagram. It wasn't ruled by these gross, like, subreddits. And it wasn't to the point where, like, the online fandom was so loud that they're affecting casting decisions. You know, people are getting fired because of social media. People on the shows are, like, all changing their behavior because of social media. We didn't have that to that extent. So to have a scandal like the old school, because, you know, Vanderpump Rules has been on for like 10 years now, I think. To think of like the old scandals of the Jaxes and the Kristens and stuff and how people reacted then, and then to see the sort of like unhinged frenzy with Raquel and that people are like wanting them fired and stuff. I'm like, God, this is like why I can't be around you. Fuck, like you're just too stupid. Like you've ruined the show for smart people. You have ruined the show for smart people. And I also want to stress, I did say this on the Patreon. I was thinking about like when I was sort of standing Raquel on Instagram, like I was just having fun with it. I wasn't taking it that seriously, but like Ariana's fine and context matters because this isn't just like, this isn't someone you know in real life where they've like been cheated on from a 7-year relationship and it's like really, really fucked. This is a celebrity who is now the most loved like girl that's been cheated on. I mean, that's how Brandy Glanville's career was made. Brandy Glanville had a New York Times bestseller and got on The Housewives of Beverly Hills, etc., because she got cheated on. Ariana is killing it. She's gaining like hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. Everyone wants to see her stupid little sandwich shop, which no one cared about before. She before had a cocktail line. It was like, make your own cocktails at home. I never fucking heard one thing about it. No one did. Like she had released products that no one fucking talked about because no one cared about what she was doing. People adore her now. Like she's now the star of Vanderpump Rules with Raquel. She's gonna kill it. She got rid of a loser boyfriend. Like it's greener pastures ahead. Like the future is bright for Ariana. So it's like, I don't need to be out here on social media, like, doing the pity party for her because, like, this is the fucking best thing that ever happened to her. And, like, yes, the context of all of this matters. So, guys, watch Vanderpump Rules. I've waffled on too long in my intro, so I'm going to get to Shallon. All the links to get Shallon's content in the show notes, all the links for me. Yeah, so I've got a lot of stuff on Patreon. There'll be more from Shallon on Patreon. And I'll see you guys next week, maybe. I'll see you when I see you. Bye. I can see your house in Montana. You have a giant Justin Bieber poster on the wall.
It's not a poster. It's art. I commissioned it. It's like a print. Yes, it's huge. And you're coming to visit, so you're going to see it in real life. Plus all the other little Justin-related paraphernalia. Little print Justin pictures in my office.
Isn't it crazy? Like, we met because I had you on my podcast like a couple of years ago. You were one of my first guests. And now, like, fast forward, I'm going to, like, come and stay with you in Montana.
I know. It's amazing. My friends are so excited to meet you here. They're like, he's never been to America. So we're going to try to make this the most, like, American thing imaginable. We're going to do all the America stuff. I think it's going to be... Hopefully rodeo season will have kicked off. It just kind of depends on the weather. But if it's nice, let her buck. We're going to take you to do some real country shit, honey.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Like, that's what I want. That's originally what I wanted my trip to be. I wanted to do all stuff like that. And then people were like, no, you've got to, you know, link up with everyone that you know, which is largely in LA and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I have all these like friends. I really need to go and see everyone. And then when, you know, the opportunity came to see you in Montana, I'm like, great, I can do both. Like, I'm so excited. Oh, yeah.
It's super beautiful. It really is a lot like Yellowstone.
I still haven't decided if I'm going to go to New York. I keep going back and forth because I just don't know if I can be bothered. And then some people go, yeah, it's like such a long flight over there. And, you know, I'm only there. I'm only in the States for 3 weeks and I have so many people to see in LA. And I'm also going to Vegas to see Miranda Lambert. But then other people are like, no, you have to go to New York. So I don't know.
I mean, it's cool. It's definitely cool. But you've been to Sydney, right? And I hear Sydney is a lot like New York or Melbourne's like New York. I haven't been to Australia, so I'm not sure. I mean, New York is its own animal. It really is so cool. But I would say don't go unless you know people there who are going to like take you around and show you cool stuff. If you're just going to do the touristy stuff, then we feel the same way about like people at large. They're not our favorite, you know? So do we want to mix with like the normies and the gen pop? No.
I know. I'm just like, Oh my God, is New York just going to be like too much? Okay, I want to get your thoughts on a lot of stuff. I have like a lot of hot topics. I have some of my own. I have questions that people submitted. I do want to ask you about the Vanderpump Rules scandal, even though I know that you don't even watch the show. You actually did a video on your channel, which was so funny because you were like, I don't know who the fuck these people are. And you gave them all different names. You were calling Tom Sandoval Lyle. I want to get your take as, you know, former tabloid editor and everything, and, you know, you've watched reality TV. What do you think Raquel should do career-wise moving forward? Because she's sort of like one of the most hated women on the internet right now.
I think she should take the Joan Collins approach, which nobody does. Like, everybody seems to take this wussy-ass apology route, and you said it exactly right on your stories. Is she going to start an OnlyFans or say she has ADHD or she's autistic? It's like, for some reason, like, celebrities have decided, like, these are the only two paths. Like, I got to show my vag, or I have to pretend like I'm, you know, like, in the short bus. But, like, where is the glamour with celebrities anymore? Where is the glamour of being like, darling, I'm a villain. I'll take your man and I'll wear this robe and I'll make a martini. Rah! Like, where we are missing these kinds of people in our celebrity orbit. And like you always say about the show, like, bro, it's a show, it's entertainment. Like, in these I love what you call them, wine moms. And they are these like wine moms, these live, laugh, love moms who get so bent out of shape about it. Like, these celebrities should learn from that. It's like, dang, they're not seeing that this is like, you know, entertainment. Like, wrestling is entertainment, you know? So then craft a true character. And have an arc for that character. Really do something with it. That's what I would do. If I were her, I would say lean in, be the villain, be the femme fatale. Who, name one celebrity who's filling that niche. Honestly, besides me, I love evil.
Well, Lisa Rinna actually did that on Beverly Hills. And then she had a really good run, although eventually she got fired. I think it was, she did let the show kind of consume her life a little bit too much, but also it's just like the fan, like, they can't just take it as fun. Like you said, like, you've got to think of it as pro wrestling pretty much. And there's just like a lot of hypocrisy, because I know you haven't watched the show, but like everyone on that show like cheats and has affairs and has since like season one. So like, she's not really doing anything that that anybody else isn't. I was thinking about her doing OnlyFans. Now, my prediction officially is that she's going to come out with ADHD. I really think she's going to do that, because she already did last season. Her storyline, the season was so boring and I stopped watching it, but I think her storyline was like, oh, I kind of have like a speech impediment, so I'm really scared to do like the beauty pageants because, you know, like, I stutter a bit. That was her thing. And I think
why is that interesting? Why is someone's deficiency the only interesting thing about them in 2023? Like, that, have the good grace to be like ashamed of the things you're bad at and keep them hidden. Call me old fashioned. Like, why don't you amplify the things you're good at? Give me a braggy douchebag any day of the week. And that, I mean, I feel like Lisa Rinna is like, and all of those Real Housewives, maybe not all the Beverly Hills ones, but it's like, I loved Lisa Vanderpump. Like, she was no person like, oh, my sad diagnosis in whatever category. Like, they went full out glamour. I appreciate
Lisa
that.
Vanderpump, though, she would weaponize certain things when it suited her. That's what it's not even that, like, people are sharing their weaknesses. It's that we're cynical enough now because we've seen it so much that we know that y'all are just exploiting it as, like, a PR move. So we know that it's, like, some fake shit. Do you think OnlyFans, because I'm like, I'm very interested in, and I always have been, in the porn industry, OnlyFans, the business of porn, like, I love it. Like, do you know that porn movie, Pirates, that was like the
oh my God, I loved Pirates. Pirates. My boyfriend and I at the time, like, we loved that movie because it's like, thank you. You put your back into it in terms of like a plot. Like, it... Yeah, because girls love sex scenes in movies. I really won't watch a movie if it doesn't have a sex scene. A guy I'm dating came over last night and I was like, I don't want to watch something if there's no sex in it. Like, just turn this off. But like, you know, porn, it's too extreme. You know, there's...
Oh, no, I agree. And Pirates, for people that don't know, it made kind of history at the time because it was the most expensive porno ever made. And it was like a takeoff of Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, I would watch it and like fast forward the sex because it was all straight sex scenes. So like I was like watching for the plot. I'm like, this is hilarious. This is like the best like Lifetime movie ever. And I actually went to a signing where Jessie Jane, I think her name was, who was the star.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a signing in Sydney to, like, meet her. It was the skeeziest thing ever because it was at some, like, sex shop in, like, the bad part of Sydney. And every guy there was, like, it was, like, white trash, like, incel. Like, imagine the kind of guy that actually goes out of their way to, like, go to a signing of...
Right, besides you.
Yeah, well, I was doing it as, like, camp and fun. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just, right. Like, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, she was probably delighted to see you.
Well, I remember she was when you had to line up and get a photo with her and she would, like, sign your poster. And she was letting all the girls grab her boobs in the photos, but she wouldn't let the guys do it. And I'm like, oh, I hope she lets me because I'm gay. But I was too scared to be, like, too flamboyant. So I just looked like some skinny nerd that, like, couldn't get laid. That was like, I'm coming to see Jessie Jane. But I don't know how I got off on this fucking tangent. Oh, yeah, about OnlyFans. I'm obsessed with just, like, the business of porn. I just find it very interesting and the history of porn. I was recently talking about how, like, I love Playboy magazine and the whole thing. OnlyFans is so normalized now. Do you think that it still tarnishes your brand, or is it almost to the point where it's like it's almost becoming like an Instagram account where, like, everyone just has an OnlyFans?
I think it's tarnishing for a brand because it is so cliche at this point. And it's like the hubris of thinking that you should make money just because you have a vagina. We all have one, sweetheart. Like, boobs? Yeah, I've got two. Like, check me out. Like, there's, what are you bringing to the table? And this like the influencer space in general, where it's like, I'm going to be an influencer. Okay. Like, what's your brand? Just like, you know, like positivity, like people can't give you an answer for like, why on earth should someone tune into you? Like, why are you unique? Why are you special? And yeah, I do think it's pretty cringe and pretty damaging. You know, if you're not doing anything unique, or I don't know, I wouldn't do it. God bless people who do, but I also do not think in any way, shape, or form there's the money to be made there that people say. And I love that you called out this alleged Black China $360 million. Give me a fucking break. Well, she's making as much money as Jeff Bezos in a year. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
They don't even fact check that, which is wild, because I looked it up because I saw it came from some fucking list. You know how they have those fake lists, like therichest.com, and they just did an estimate. Yes. And they had like Cardi B like 20 million a month, like this person like 30 million a month. And then I was like, okay, where did this figure come from? I found out it was just fabricated on a random like site that's not credible. And then it was actually getting like re-reported and talked about on podcasts and stuff. It's like, do you guys not fucking fact check anything? Like,
No, they don't. And no, it's just like statistically impossible. And also, sorry, Black China was a stripper. There's naked pictures of her literally everywhere for free. I've seen them. I've seen tons of her nudes. I really wasn't looking that hard.
One thing people, I think, do pay for on OnlyFans, actually, I don't think it's always just the nudes. I think it's the DMs, even though, by the way, for people that don't know, I mean, I'm sure most people do now, those DMs are not actually the person. Like, it's like it's outsourced to a company that, like, chats to you, like a old school, like, call 1-800, like, fuck me, you know what I mean? Like, it's all fake. But I think people kind of, like, pay for that a lot. And I think you make a lot of the money in, like, the upselling in the DMs and stuff, like, hey baby, what's up? Like, I follow Larsa Pippen on OnlyFans because her OnlyFans is free.
I followed her too, and I did when she first joined, because I was like, I want to see what this tacky bitch looks like naked, because what has she done to her body? And I paid for like one $10 photo, and it was literally her fully clothed sitting on a pool chair, and my credit card texted me, they're like, is this fraud? I was like, you know what, Capital One, yes it is. It's like, this is such bullshit.
She doesn't show anything on there. And I follow her and I get like DMs from her and she's like, hey baby, like feeling good. What are you up to? And then she'll give you like a paywalled photo for like $20. And it's like, I know this is literally you just in like activewear going to the gym. Like there's nothing here, but I guess there must be guys on there. I think she gets a lot of guys from the Middle East following her because you know how Kardashians have a big following over there. I think that's where a lot of her subscribers, and I think you just have all these horny guys that think they're talking to like this hot babe, and they're like, yeah, I'll do it. I was shocked with Iggy Azalea joining. Well, okay, I wasn't shocked that she joined OnlyFans, but she came out, she said she was doing this, like, you know, multimedia art project on there. Obviously, she's not putting music out on there or anything. I've actually seen her photos from leaks. It's too expensive. I was like, wanted to see what she was doing. It's $25 a month, and that's just to get you in the door, and then you've got to pay way more on top of that to unlock anything good. But I got all the leaks off of, you know, Reddit, because I wanted to see what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And she actually is doing, like, the photography's really cool. Like, they actually all look like sort of the best Playboy shoots from, like, back in the day, or the best Instagram shoots. But she went on Watch What Happens Live, and I couldn't believe this, because she's, like, she is a big star. Like, even though she's washed up now, yeah, like, everyone knows who she is. Her song was, you know, I think it's, like, a diamond record, Fancy, et cetera, et cetera. So she's, like, a big name to be joining OnlyFans. She was drunk on Watch What Happens Live, and she admitted that she, she sends guys voice notes where, like, as, like, a dominatrix, where they want her to, like, degrade their manhood. So she's like, your dick is so small, like, I would never touch that, like, you're pathetic. Like, she's doing stuff like that and getting paid for that. And I'm like, this is so fucking degrading. Like, I understand if you're just, whatever, just a typical influencer or, like, sex worker on OnlyFans, like, great, it's a voice note. You're probably going to get, like, $500 to yell at someone's penis. Like, good for you. But I'm like, I can't believe even a star like Iggy Azalea, who has a lot of money, and she actually just sold her whole music catalog for, I think it was, like, for seven figures. Like, she got millions for it. And, like, she's on this, like, sending people sex voice notes. Like, it's just, it's too much.
And it's weird, because if she's so good at OnlyFans, why didn't her music do better? Like, if you have this huge fan base that's making you so much money on OnlyFans, where people are paying, like you said, a lot, but music is free. Like, you can listen to Fancy, whatever, you know, music is free, and she's not crushing it there. It's like, that's what I have, like, a big, when people act like, it's like, oh, I'm not a celebrity in real life, but somehow I'm a celebrity on OnlyFans. Like, what? How does this work? Where either your audience converts or it doesn't.
Yeah, well, some people, like, make bank. Like, Bad Baby, which she showed the receipt. Yeah. She bought a mansion in Florida, so she's definitely making money. She did it smart. She was, like, she joined OnlyFans when she turned 18, like, the day she turned 18. She did, like, a countdown to turning 18, which is, like, what does that say, that there are all these guys out there?
I love her so much.
I love her, too. Like, I think she's great, and I think she's so savvy, and I love what she turned things into. And I was sort of investigating her OnlyFans through, like, leaks, because hers is very expensive, too. I think it's, like, $24. I'm like, I'm not paying for that. But she doesn't do nudity or anything. Like, she just does, like, thirst traps. Or I think the most she'll do is, like, she's in a bubble bath and the, like, bubbles are, like, covering her boobs and you can't see. And she made, like, I think over 50 really? Million in her first year. Yeah, Jesus. She bought a mansion in Florida off that. I watched your video that you did on Livvy Dunn, and you actually mentioned how they're trying to, there's, like, fake news stories out about her, like, saying she's on OnlyFans when obviously she's not. She's interesting because, like, okay, for people that don't know who she is, I'm kind of obsessed with her. Shallon is. She's this gymnast. She's 20. She's gorgeous. She looks like the all-American girl next door.
Totally.
Beautiful, like, just blonde dream girl that, like, you know, any guy would have a crush on. And she's, like, a really talented gymnast. I don't think she's, like, the top gymnast. She's kind of, like, she's sort of the Anna Kournikova of this generation, I think, whereas, like,
that's such a good, yes, that is the perfect comparison. Yeah. Like, she's the greatest tennis player in the world. It's like, Anna Kournikova was not. But she was definitely the hottest.
She was definitely,
like, the most savvy. She built a brand.
I mean, Anna Kournikova, I remember back in the day when, I mean, if anyone's really young listening, they probably don't even remember who she is. But she was, like, definitely not, like, the world ranked number one. I think she was, you know, like, number 250 or something. But she made more money than, like, the number one players just from endorsement deals. That's what Livvy Dunn is doing. She's a gymnast, a college gymnast. And I think she's making millions now. She's, like, making seven figures doing endorsement deals. I was thinking about her in the video you did, because it's like, she could totally just go on OnlyFans right now and should be making Bad Baby money easy. But someone like her, it's like, you want to think, like, long term, because she could, she could become, like, a billionaire long term if she is able to, like, do, like, an, you know, athleisure line and, like, fitness line and stuff. So it's like, yeah, you really do have to think about, like, your branding and who you're aligning yourself with.
Yeah. And I think the people who I see joining fans, it's like, there's not a lot of other options. And if there are, they're not smart enough to cultivate those. You know, like, where else is Iggy Azalea or Blac Chyna or Larsa Pippen going to go? Like, it's like, should I run for Congress or should I join OnlyFans? Like, you know, should I start a school for women? And like, no, like, you're a one trick pony, and the emphasis there might be the word trick, you know? But I think if you have other options, like, your pussy's always an option, girl. Your pussy's always an option. Like, all women have been like, should I just start hoeing? Like, we've all fought that. And it's like, I'm thinking a little bigger picture. And I can always do that. I can always shift into that. But once you do, you cannot shift out. And that's just the reality of it. Like, you're always going to be that. Like, porn stars, like Jenna Jameson, she could run for Congress. Like, porn star Jenna Jameson wins congressional seat for the 58th time. Like, you would never know her as anything else. She will not be running for Congress, though.
Iggy now, yeah, everyone's just like, now she's just an OnlyFans. Like, it was interesting because she wasn't like that respected. I mean, I like her. I'm a fan of hers. I'm like, find her very interesting. And the way that she grew up in like small town Australia and then like got, you know, a fake butt and was, you know, like a Southern rapper, you know, like, it's crazy. Like, if you look at her story, like, how did you, like, she got to the States at like 16 and made a rap career. Like, it's very interesting. I'm so like, I want to know all like the details of how she did it. I feel like there's a lot of like mystery surrounding that time because I don't know what she was up to, but
yeah, she's a fascinating character.
She is, but it's like now she's just known as like OnlyFans. Like, it's almost like the credibility's out of the window. Your Livy Dunn video, though, I have to say I did kind of disagree because you were like, it's not her fault she's objectified. You can't control when men objectify you, which is like true, but it's like, girl, like, Livy Dunn knows exactly what the hell she's doing with her image and her TikToks. Like, she's like very smart.
Yeah, she totally is. I mean, what's the point of being a cute blonde white girl if you're not going to like monetize it, you know? And I'm sure that's part of the hate she gets. It's like, she's just unabashed. She's like, I'm a cute blonde girl. And here I am posting cute blonde girl content, like, die mad about it, you know? And, but she's got such a sweet disposition. It doesn't come off in any weird way. I just think that like, she gets so much vitriol, and like, literally her Instagram is the exact same as any other 20-year-old girl's. Like, the little poses and the like captions, like, it's a heart and then like a frog emoji or like whatever, you know, she's not doing anything differently. She's just getting more attention for it. And maybe that's why people are so pissed. Like, I'm showing my ass in the exact same way. I don't have any endorsement deals. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause, when you said like, she's just like the blonde white girl and she's just like being sexy and it like riles people up. Cause that's like radical now. You know, back in the day, obviously, like, Playboy era, all of that, the 90s and stuff, like, every girl was just sexy and hot. And, like, some of that was obviously being exploited because it was sort of like they were expected to, even if they didn't want to. But there was also just hot girls like to do it. And then the last sort of, you know, with wokeness and everything, every kind of, like, all women's sexuality, it had to be heavily politicized as like, this is a feminist statement or this is a body positivity statement. Ugh, and God. If it wasn't, if it was just presented as like, I'm hot, then somehow that's exploitive. She's being taken advantage of. And then they would have to put like the Me Too spin on it. And I love Livy Dunn and I love Sydney Sweeney as well, because they're just like, we're fucking hot. And
yeah.
We're just going to be hot. We're hot white girls. We don't care. This isn't a political statement. We're just like living our life. And I kind of feel like they just embody that old school type of like unabashed kind of sexuality without being vulgar either. Cause it's not the OnlyFans territory either, where it's like, I'm on OnlyFans being DP'd. It's just a click. I'm just hot. And, you know, here's my cleavage or I can get topless in a movie. I don't know. I just love it. They're very like Skinamax.
Yeah. And I, you know, somebody said to me about Livy Dunn, they're like, if this was a fat black chick posing the exact same way and posting the exact same thing, they'd be like, yes, queen, of course. Like, no one would be saying shit about it, which is so ironic. You know, it's like, we're in the upside down. Not that, I mean, if you're a fat black chick, post whatever the fuck you want. But, you know, Jacques, you and I have talked about, it's like, body positivity is not for attractive people. Love your body. Not like that. Not you, not a thin, fit, white person, a white blonde girl feeling sexy and pretty. How fucking dare you, you know? And yeah, they're like unabashed and they're not vulgar. And it's like, dude, at the end of the day, like, they look good. Like, what are you going to say about them? Like, they look good and they feel good and they're not apologizing. And that, like, so many more people need to be doing that and not, exactly, not politicizing. And it's ironic for the people who are like, you know, I'm so liberal and like femininity and feminism. They're the ones politicizing women's body. They're the ones coming down on people like Livy and Sydney. It's not the MAGA crowd.
Oh, well, yeah, but okay. But to be fair, the MAGA crowd come down on like the Lizzos. The MAGA crowd comes down on the fat black chick.
True.
And the woke crowd comes down on the, you know, the Libby Dunn and the Sydney Sweeney. I mean, but yeah, because Sydney Sweeney is so like, I mean, I saw this lingerie campaign she did recently, which I absolutely loved. She did this movie. It was so like 90s erotic thriller trash. And I loved it. The Voyeurs. Have you seen that?
No, I saw you posting about it, and it's on my list because, like I said, I won't watch a movie if there's no sex in it. What am I doing?
Well, there's
with
plenty
these
of
2 hours of my time.
It's literally like it's her and this. You know, she. I don't know how she gets all this money, but she lives in some beautiful, huge, spacious loft in New York with her boyfriend, with all these windows, and then they start like watching the couple from across the street because it's making them horny and spicing up their sex life. And it's a lot of like peeking through the windows as Sydney Sweeney takes off her top with like, you know, a big melons out, and like. That's why the liberals fucking hate her. That's why they came for her when she had that birthday party and they tried to cancel her as like a MAGA and stuff because they hate it. They hate what she's doing.
Yeah, what was the theme of her birthday party? It was like birthday themed birthday party. And they're like, fuck you. Wow, you're a racist.
Because it was like, because she did like life. A cowboy. No, it was like cowboy and western or something themed. And then she had like, you know, a great uncle or like some distant relative that had like a MAGA cap on and people just like fucking lost their shit. And I'm like, they've just been waiting to get something because they just, they hate what she represents.
Yeah, they hate an attractive person. And again, it's like you have these like sentient fucking beanbag chairs who's like, I identify as a spaceship and also a men's shoe. And like, it's fine to have sex with children. That's just your sexual preference. It's like, how dare you just be normal and not mentally ill and in control of your sexuality? How dare you? Wait, I have a question for you about like Skinamax movies, because I have wondered this and I have my own theories and I know what I would do in this situation. Do celebrities just have sex? Like, if you're making this movie, I would just be having sex. I wouldn't be trying to like fake a sex scene. I'd just be having sex.
Oh, so you would just fuck on camera?
Yes! Because like, I remember reading like when 50 Shades of Grey came out and it's like, oh, we had to do all this stuff to like cheat the scenes. And you know, it's like, he's protected. I was like, what kind of pussies are you two? Like, just bone. Like, it's so much easier. Just do it. My God.
Well, it's funny because they have some like art, they have some art house movies that all like push the boundaries sexually where they will have sex. Like there was actually one, it's funny because you mentioned the Short Bus earlier. There was one called Short Bus that came out years ago. I remember I used to go to this like boutique cinema like every single week with my friend and it showed all the art house movies and we watched Short Bus there. And yeah, it was people. I mean, I think there was one scene where a guy jacked off and like came on his face, on his own face. Like it was just all stuff like that. But, like it's art. But
it's art. Yeah, of course. If someone says this movie is art, someone's jerking off. Like there's jizz someplace in this movie. There's real jizz someplace.
It was art. Yeah, it was everybody fucking. Yeah, but it's also like I was reading these tweets from my favorite porn star and my favorite OnlyFans star, Sharok, who I love because he doesn't charge you out the ass in the fucking DMs with the pay-per-views. It's a flat rate. I think it's like $10 or $11 and you get it all. Because what I hate about subscribing to OnlyFans is you're like, oh, okay, I'm paying $10. Like, I'm going to see it all. And then you get on the OnlyFans and then it's like, here's like a teaser full video in the DMs. You open the DM and then you've got to pay like $25 on top of that to get the full video. And I'm like, girl, no, like I can get this on like Pornhub for free. Like you're lucky I even came through the paywalled entry. Now you're going to upsell me, but Sharok gives it to you all for the flat rate. And I saw some of his tweets recently though, when he was talking about filming with porn studios versus filming on OnlyFans. And he was just talking about how fake and, you know, awful filming for the actual studios are. And it's like, yeah, we filmed this for like 10 hours on Viagra and we, you know, faked a cum shot and stuff. So I think it's like, yeah, even porn is fake. So like no one's going to be, Sydney Sweeney's not going to be getting like gangbanged on.
But like, if you, I just feel like if you have chemistry with the other person, I'd be like, yo, you want to just.
They're definitely like, fucking okay, in the trailer. That's.
Like, just bring it out. Bring the lighting guy in. Get mic'd up. Like, come on. Come on. It's going to sell it. Like, I'm a method actor. Is this too much to ask?
You know, we were talking the other day on WhatsApp, like about Playboy and stuff. And yes. I was telling you that like Playboy has a new app. They're doing like an OnlyFans rival, but it's classier because you can't do porn on there. And my friend is actually on there and she's like making a lot of money. And then we started talking about how like a few years ago, Playboy had this like woke relaunch and they're not doing the magazine anymore because it shut down during the pandemic. But you were saying how like I think when they relaunched, they put a trans woman on the cover. And then I was like Googling Playboy like the other day and looking through their woke era, and they did a whole spread with, do you know Sam Brinton?
Why do I know that name? Okay. Oh, wait, the guy who's stealing luggage?
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The Joe Biden's, I can't remember what he was. He was the head of something. He had some like big role, Sam Brinton under the Joe Biden administration. And if you guys don't know the story, he got, he's a non-binary, them, and he's extremely unattractive. And you know, he wears like gender bending clothes and he is a kleptomaniac and he steals people's luggage from the airport and then like wears their clothes, which is clearly some like mental illness. And fucking woke Playboy. Yeah, before, I think this was obviously before he was in Biden's administration, but they did, yeah, I saw they did like a whole video interview with him on Playboy.com and he was talking about being non-binary and like fighting conversion therapy. And I'm like, what the fuck is this person in Playboy?
But of course he's unattractive. Like, I was talking about this with a guy the other day. It's like, it's not like the hottest chicks in high school, like, end up non-binary. It's not like, oh, the lacrosse captain. It's like, the people, they're not heterosexuals. They're not homosexual. They're just kind of, they just failed at both. It's like, maybe they thought they were straight. They're like, okay, no. So I'm going to try being gay. Maybe that didn't work out so well either. So it's like, how about I'm neither? It's like, all right, dude, let's act like this is your choice. Like, you're just so fucking weird. You're undateable. Is that what this is? Because that's how it looks from, I'm sure I'll get canceled for this. Like, who cares? But like, I'm sorry. This is what everybody on the outside is thinking, looking at these people. Like, no one is dating you. I don't care what you identify as. You're home alone. Like, no one wants to date you because you're so bizarre. And you're stealing people's luggage. Why would you want other people's luggage?
Well, the right-wing term for this is incel. So any guy that can't get laid is a right-wing 4chan incel. And if you're on the left, you're non-binary, 4chan. Basically.
This is an excellent point. These are the two bookends. Yes, you're non-binary. Wow, I never realized that. That's so true. The left-wing. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the only difference is like whatever Reddit thread you happen to be on.
Yeah.
On the regular.
Totally.
Is it about
Asian? Got a lot of questions from people. Everyone wanted to know more about your Ozempic journey. I know that you've done videos on this. It's funny because I only put two and two together like the other week that you were on Ozempic because I did a story on you for Daily Mail like about a year ago now of you losing all the headline was so funny. It was something like, I don't want to be fat. Like I lost weight on a diabetes drug. And
it's like and being fat sucks. Like influencer slams Lizzo. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. Bashing Lizzo too. And like, that was funny because you were on that early because now the last sort of like 6 months, no one will shut the fuck up about Ozempic. I'm actually sick, like sick to death of hearing about it. But I was like, you were on that. Like you got on that early. Like you're the early adopter of the Ozempic trend.
I did. Because I had my villain origin story, my Ozempic villain origin story is my doctor, my plastic surgeon that I went back to see in New York because I wanted filler in my jaw. And I was like, because I can't see my jaw. And she's like, and she's my friend. Like I consider her a friend. She's like, well, you're too fat. That's why you can't see your jaw. You don't need more filler. You need less weight. And I was like, oh my God. And so she sent me to an endocrinologist and they're like, yeah, I think this is really going to help you. And I've lost 45 pounds, but like, I don't drink. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat dairy. I work out with a trainer 4 times a week. Like it's, you hear people like Remy Bader, because I just like shredded her about this. It's like, I didn't, she said both, I didn't lose a lot of weight and then I gained it all back once I went off it, and it's Ozempic's fault. How the fuck are you blaming a drug you're not even on for what you're eating? How is that possible? Anyway.
Do you think you could go off Ozempic now and then, because you've made all these lifestyle changes of like basically eating nothing and seeing a trainer four times a week, that then you'll be okay?
I probably could, but honestly, I don't want to. I'm super hypoglycemic, so my blood sugar is really wonky anyway, but also I'm just a vain, entitled bitch. And why should I go off of it? I mean, why should I if I don't have to? My lab results are good. I feel good. Every doctor I see, my naturopaths, my endos, they're like, you're great. So nah, man, like I'm not going back to being fat because it sucked. And good for people who are happy, you know, at the weight I was at. I'm not even saying if you weighed what I weighed, like I think I was 168, that you're like fat. Oh, that's terrible. But I wasn't comfortable, you know, and that's what body positivity is. Like I get to decide actually about my own body, and I hated it. And I don't want to go back there. So, but I could probably do fine without it. I'm like weaning myself off it in a big way. But
yeah, my friend is on it. Kiki, she's an influencer. She's struggled with her weight a lot, and she started using it, and she's like had heaps of backlash from the people of like, well, you shouldn't take it for this. And she's like, well, I need it for this. Like, I've tried all these other things to lose weight. It's not working. And like, this is working for me. What do you make of all the backlash? Because now there's a whole backlash of like, well, if you use it for weight loss, like then people can't use it for diabetes. Like,
how do you hit back to that? No, excuse me. It is a drug for fat people. It is a drug for fat people to get type 2 diabetes, which is a fat person disease. I know because I had it under control. So I wasn't fat enough to be at the top of the fat food chain in order to get this drug. I didn't abuse my body enough to be prioritized for this. I have hypoglycemia. That's a blood sugar issue. And people who say this, they're literally just jealous. And everybody can see through it. They're jealous. They're like, you shouldn't have access to it. You're killing people. Fine. I killed a bunch of people because I'm not vaccinated. You think I'm not afraid to kill more people? I'll kill as many people as I have to. But it's just, these are the same people, you know, who are talking about, you know, women's rights and everything and body positivity. But again, it's like, no, not like that. No, you don't get control over your body in this category.
Yeah. And I also just feel like, I mean, it's fucking Big Pharma. They can make more. Like, I know there's like a shortage now, but I mean, they never have that. They never have trouble when they've got to like fucking, I mean, they didn't have trouble forcing the fucking vaccine on us against our wills. So you can make more.
Well, the reason they don't have more is because the company, I can never say it's like Novaskirk, some, you know, that company.
Yeah. Some crazy pharma company.
Right. They won't release essentially, I think, like the patent to it so that other companies can produce it. They don't have the bandwidth to produce enough. But they're like, no, they would rather squat on this instead of opening it up to other people getting the drug that, quote unquote, everyone needs. And, you know, we're saving lives. So it's not the patient. It's not even the doctor. It is, once again, Big Pharma. So, like, don't come down on me because, like, Big Pharma is a nightmare. How is this my fault? And why on earth would this be my responsibility? I'm supposed to put some other fat person's needs over mine or a diabetic's needs over my. I mean, why? How is that like Darwinistic? That's not how anything works.
That's so interesting that you bring up the patent thing, and now like everyday people are being blamed instead of the pharmaceutical companies. That's literally what happened with the vaccine. Was they wouldn't release the patent to like the poorer countries so they could get the, because they were like, okay, everyone needs this vaccine. Like, you know, we all have to have it. We all have to have our boosters. We're all going to die if we don't have this vaccine. But then they wouldn't, Bill Gates and stuff wouldn't release the fucking patent to like these poor countries because he wanted to make all this fucking money off of it. And then we all got blamed when it's like there was financial motives. I mean, you said you're not vaccinated. I've been open that I did against my will. People know the story, but basically I held out at first and then I got the AstraZeneca because I didn't want to get the Pfizer one at all. And then I got the first dose of the AstraZeneca and then I flipped and changed my mind again because I never wanted the first dose anyway. But I actually, I had to leave. Basically, I had to leave Sydney and come back to my hometown, and Australia was like literally like police state, like driving from, I mean, I had to get approved just to leave Sydney originally. Then we're driving on the road. Police stop us in the middle of nowhere to check our papers. And when you booked in for the second dose, it was like fascist stuff. Like it was insane. Like it was like a fucking scene out of a fucking Nazi movie straight up. Like I could not believe like we got stopped by cops in the middle of nowhere. Like, can we check your papers? Even when I had to get approved to leave Sydney to go, which is actually in the same state, okay? So it wasn't even over state lines. Like, I had to tell the person on the phone, like, yes, I've had the first dose and I'm planning to get the second dose on this date, which I wasn't. Like, craziness. So then about, I don't know, I think 14 months later, I ended up getting the second dose because I couldn't see my grandma in, she had dementia, so she didn't know who I was anyway, but I couldn't see her in the nursing home here. And then I was getting the pressure from the family that was going on for like months, and we'll never forgive you if you don't see grandma before she dies. And so then I got, then the second dose, I got the Novavax, which that wasn't mRNA, so I felt better about it. And I was kind of like, look, I hope that because I got two different types and I waited like 14 months apart, hopefully it's not, because you've sort of got to get it in that window for it. Because I think the second dose is the one that was really did the most. The first one was almost like a primer. So I was kind of like, hopefully like the effects didn't, because I didn't fucking want it. And I'm still like really resentful that I got kind of bullied into it, even though I held out for so long. But you know, eventually the family pressure and, you know, not being able to like go into restaurants and stuff is so much. But how do you feel with just the constant breaking news now about, oh, they lied about this, oh, they covered up the lab leak, oh, the testing wasn't accurate, like they, like it's just pretty much, I keep saying, pretty much every conspiracy theory with the exception of like, you know, lizard people and microchips is like coming true.
I know. And I told somebody the other day that I am entering my I told you so era. And I am not going to be shy about saying I told you so, because I did. I fucking told you so. I will be as vociferous about this as all the people were who were bullying people into getting the vaccine. You're killing grandma, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, if we're all just going to be super outspoken about this, welcome to hell. Because at the end of the day, like, and I was saying this during the pandemic when I was pretty outspoken, like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get the vaccine. And I would never blame somebody for getting it. I don't think anyone's stupid for getting it. I don't think you're like a sheep. It's whatever makes you feel good. You know, I get the flu shot every year and people think I'm dumb for that. It's like, okay, well, it makes me feel good. Maybe I'm going to grow a tail eventually because of it. Like, but that's okay. You know, it's just everyone should have the right to do what they want. And that was being completely eroded. And that's where I had the issue. But, you know, all of these things that are coming out, where's our apology? Where, and even if things got really bad, it's like, oh shit, like this is actually a doomsday device in everyone's bloodstream now. So we're all going to like implode in like 4 to 6 months. Who would we string up in the street like Mussolini? Nobody. Fauci? Like, who would we get these reparations from? And what could we ever hope to recoup if things go really bad, or even if they don't? I mean, it sounds like they went really fucking bad in Australia. That's ridiculous. So I think that speaking up will at least keep those people who are bullying us and, you know, went COVID crazy. They might think twice if they're like, oh God, I'm going to hear about this from this chick again. Like, maybe they'll run that game on someone else and maybe eventually they won't run it at all.
Yeah, it's hard to move on because I still post about it on my stories. I know a lot of people have just memory hold COVID and they pretend that it hasn't happened and they get annoyed if they, I mean, no one like says anything to me because my followers just like know my vibe, but I'm sure there's people that see my post and they're like, oh God, it's going on about COVID again. But it's like, there's no apology, and two, there's no accountability to anyone.
No.
Where's the fucking accountability? So it's almost like, you know, if you like break up with somebody, but you don't get the closure on the breakup. So you're never able to like properly heal and close the chapter. Cause you're like, we didn't have that like last conversation of like, well, you did this wrong and I did this wrong and now let's move forward. Mm-hmm. And like, so you're just in this constant state of like, I have no closure. And I'm, you know, I was just, I still feel like I'm getting gaslit a lot when they try to downplay things that are like, I know are like not true. You know, it's like a constant state of like global gaslighting for like 3 years straight.
It is. And, you know, I feel like my followers are the same. They're like, here she goes again. But yes, here I do go again, because everyone else was going for 3 years. And I still know people. I know someone who had a birthday party and she wanted people to produce negative PCR tests, like two of them. And I was like, I'm not fucking going to this, dude. Like, I'm not doing this. Because at what point does this ever end?
Because the thing is as well, like a lot of people conveniently stopped following all the news on it once, like the news was not Absolutely. Going in their favor. And also, to be fair, it's not like a lot of this stuff. I mean, the mainstream is covering it, but it's certainly not covering it to the level that they should be. It's not the headline story where it's like every Tom, Dick and Harry on the street is going to know about it, which it should be. Like every day a new revelation comes out, this should be the number one story and like everyone should be aware of it. But some of these yeah. things are like buried and stuff. But yeah, like... It's wild too, because they did such a good job of fooling so many people. Like one of the reasons I got the first jab, which again, everything, even before it even came out, I originally said, my gut just told me like, this just seems too quick to bring something out and we don't
yeah.
really know the long term and stuff. So I don't really feel comfortable getting it. And this was of course, before it came out, they're going, no one's going to like mandate you to get it. It'll be your choice, et cetera, which it turned out mm-hmm. not to be. But, even a lot of the alternative media that I follow that you wouldn't consider mainstream media, they fell for it too. And like some of the commentators that I trusted were like, hey, we think that it's totally okay to get it and you should all get it. And that was like one of the factors that convinced me. And now, of course, a few years later, all these same commentators are the ones that are reporting on like, oh, look, they covered up this lab leak and then Fauci covered up this thing and now they're on it. But I'm like, even those people that I considered really smart and usually were like on the money with things like got fooled. So, yeah, I don't blame people for getting like suckered into it either. But I do blame the people that were nasty and were like bullies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I can't forgive them.
And who made it like a personality trait. They continue to make it a personality trait. It's the hill that they die on. It's their virtuous hill of the only good thing they're doing right in their life, you know, and the thing that they have decided that they're right about forever. And it's like, you're not, that doesn't make you a good person. It actually makes you a piece of shit that you're like trying to force someone into doing something with their body that has absolutely no consequence on you. And you can say that it does, but it doesn't. Like if you're gonna bully someone about the vax, bully them about the flu shot, bully them about birth control. Like, where's it gonna end?
While we're on this topic, actually, I want to read out some fan questions, and I got one from troll that's clearly one of your
amazing
haters, and they said, "Where is it? Why is Shallon such a redneck now? Why is she so threatened by trans women?" So I guess they're referring to your right-wing arc since you moved to Montana. I mean, you have definitely had a transformation, because I think when I first discovered you, you were the liberal girl boss, the liberal Democratic girl boss.
I mean, Barack Obama follows me on Twitter. Like, I'm pretty darn liberal, and I still vote very vastly majority Democrat, you know, for sure, because I care about abortion rights. And I care about the environment. And unfortunately, that's not something I see as a priority on the right. And especially now that COVID is over, like I was, you know, willing to vote Republican to get these COVID, you know, mandates ended. But now that they are, it's like, dude, I don't know. But why don't I support trans women? Is that what they said? Why am I threatened by
double
trans
question.
Women?
Why, it was why are you a redneck and why are you threatened by trans women?
I'm not a redneck. I'm an American. And I'm doing all the things that Americans do. I ride horses. I shoot guns. You know, I eat food that men have shot in the woods and it's not processed farm foods. And like, I'm living a more authentic, connected, sustainable life than like whoever wrote that comment. And why am I threatened by trans women? Because they're men. And I don't enjoy men coming into a woman's space, whether that's a physical space like a locker room or a space like, you know, sports, you know, or anything. So you want to rephrase that question? Why am I threatened by men? I think we have about 10,000 years of human civilization to tell us why women should feel threatened by men.
Well,
and men
the whole,
dressing themselves up as some sort of victim.
The whole trans thing, there's more pushback, there's pushback transphobia now, just because, like, much more now than there was a few years ago, just because of, like, it is the way that they've put trans people in sports and all of these kinds of things. Because, like, people didn't really... I never remember anyone having a problem with trans people that much. Even when Caitlyn Jenner first came out, no one really cared that much. And it was when it became this weird political identity. And, of course, like, the last podcast that I did, last episode, I talked about some of the pediatric gender clinics and what they're doing there.
Oh,
and
my God.
Those are definitely not being held accountable. And, yeah, and we're going to have, like, a whole wave of, like, detransitions coming soon.
Oh, yeah, like, that's going to be horrible. And, you know, I said this in my International Women's Day video, or maybe I didn't. It's like, this is an I told you so moment. I was right about Jennifer Lopez getting back together with Ben Affleck. I was right about what was going to happen to Britney Spears. I was right about COVID. And I'm right about this. Like, the backlash. And we're going to be the I told you so-ers again. And, like, who do you string up in the town square when people realize they've mutilated their 11-year-old and they can't go back? And now this kid's suicidal, and your heart breaks for them. Like, if you're a grown adult, if you're over 25 and your frontal lobe is closed, be trans, do whatever. You have to be over 25 and you have to pay all your own fucking bills if you want to be transsexual. This, I think, is the requirement. You have to do, like, years of therapy. And if you're paying all your own bills, I think you get a much better sense of personal accountability and ownership in your life. You have more confidence. And maybe your issues aren't gender related. You know, maybe a lot of them kind of work themselves out. And you don't have to go to such extreme lengths. You feel maybe better and, like, you have more of a place in the world.
Yeah, well, one reason that I'm kind of turned off by Republicans, because you said that you care about abortion and women's rights, and that's one thing. Like, I don't like how Republicans want to ban transgender surgery for adults. Like, I totally am on board with them for children, but I just feel like adults should be able to do whatever they want.
For sure, for sure. And if that truly, truly is the thing that makes you feel more authentic, like, I have a trans chickadee in my fan group, and she weighs in on a whole bunch of stuff, and she's the first one to say, like, this is not a quick undertaking, you know? This is a huge decision, and she feels great going from a man to a woman. I'm like, good for you. Like, whatever's authentic. But I don't think you can – it's an impossibility. It's a statistical impossibility that this many people genuinely feel that this is super, super authentic to them. And it only came out in the last 2 years, you know? If this is so authentic and so widespread, why has this not really been a thing?
Oh, well, there's so much research and everything now about how, like, autistic girls are being wrongfully diagnosed as transgender. And there's a lot of, like, other things that, so it's just really bad. And by the way, before, you're mentioning your diet and eating real food, that actually has become more of a right wing thing now, is the health space. Like, the right wing sphere is very into, like, health and, like, organic food and stuff.
I've noticed this. Yes. It's crazy. The politicalization of food, you know, and food should be political because we are so fucking fat and we just eat so much and we consume so much, and the beef and the deforestation. It's really bad when you scratch the surface, you know, but yeah, it's a whole thing. I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. I've got more fan questions. People want to know about Meghan and Harry. So I'm so fucking sick to death of talking about Meghan and Harry, and I've kind of stopped. I didn't even watch the South Park episode. I did watch clips. Like, I got the gist. I used to be a big South Park fan growing up. But I just kind of at one point, like, sort of washed my hands of them, of like, look, I've kind of said everything I can say about them. Like, we know she's a grifter, and they're monetizing their victimhood and throwing their family under the bus to do it, et cetera. But you have, like, a unique perspective on this because you were featured in their Netflix documentary. And tell people what they said about you, because it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. So they did this whole episode, and they had this guy, Chris Boozy, who's a complete, I don't even know what he is, but he doesn't seem to be credible or verifiable. A lot of people have sued him.
He has Twitter. He has this fake business pretty much that investigates bots on. It's a total fucking scam, because before he was doing, like, Russian disinformation or something, and he just basically robs liberals blind.
Right, right. So he comes on here and says that he's uncovered that all of this online vitriol against Meghan and Harry can be funneled down to just this demented cabal of influencers. And I think it was like, what was it, 200 and something not even influencers. He says in one breath they're influencers, and in the next we're just like basement dwelling housewives. Like, well, which is it? We're nobodies or we're influencers? Because they're two different kinds of things. And we are responsible. And I say we because he showed me. Like, it's a clip of me and my YouTube videos and two other, all three of us are white. But one of these other women that they showed, she's a journalist. Like, she's not like just some asshole commentator like I am. She's like a legitimate journalist for a news agency, I think in Argentina or something. And saying that we were responsible for all of these bots, like 17 million, like something crazy. And yet you can't point to one DM that I've sent ordering people to like bully and harass them. And it just, it undercuts everything Harry and Meghan said. It's like your whole, the whole theme of this like weird masturbatory Netflix thing is everyone hates us and we're so put upon. But then in this one episode, you say the opposite. You're like, oh, it's actually only 200 people. It's like, which is it? Again, like nothing they say ever makes sense or adds up.
And they're labeling genuine critics of theirs as part of some coordinated campaign, which is completely false. I mean, it's like defamatory. Right. Also, I wrote about this on Daily Mail when I found out about it because you did a video on it. And they lied in the documentary about how many accounts there were because Twitter had already gone and done their own internal investigation into these troll accounts. And the amount of accounts they said in the Netflix documentary that were troll accounts versus what Twitter actually found was completely different. I mean, Twitter had already debunked the story, but they still aired that in the documentary. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people that don't actually follow the Meghan Markle stuff and know like what a liar her and Harry are. I know so many people like here in my town that watched that documentary and then they liked Meghan and Harry and they're like, oh yeah, I do feel bad for them. And it's like, you know, that's just like a propaganda, like PR piece that like, but if you don't follow the stuff on them specifically, like you don't know. You, I mean, you were thinking about taking legal action at one point, weren't you? Because it, it was defamatory.
Yeah. I mean, if there was a Netflix documentary about child molesters and suddenly there you are, you'd be like, what is this? Like you, the implication is so ridiculous. They didn't reach out to my management. They didn't DM me, like nothing. And I think what's messed up is like, I grew up in a time where the word documentary like meant something. Like we were going to see something that was the truth. Like it was fact checked and it was balanced. It's like whether it was on Penguins or fighter planes, whatever. And now it's like, wait, this was on Netflix? And this is just, like you said, it's propaganda at best. And at worst, it's like lies and defamation. And you're like, Jesus Christ, this is a Netflix documentary. Like, what else are documentaries lying about? And now I look at any documentary, I'm like, are you telling me the truth about these Penguins? I can't even trust you.
I tell people all the time, documentaries are like reality shows, basically. I mean, you know, they all have an angle. You've really got to watch them. And I mean, because that's one reason I have a problem with the true crime culture. That's big with the Wine Mums is all the true crime stuff. Because I'm like, this is so sensationalized and like, just please just watch it as entertainment. Although, I don't know, I find the true crime thing very creepy, but I just don't even want to go down that tangent on that. Were you tempted to do more Meghan and Harry videos? Because actually after they defamed you, then you got all these like Meghan and Harry haters on your channel and like new subscribers, because I saw the comments of like, we just found you, thank you for talking the truth about them. Like, were you tempted like, oh, should I just do like 10 anti Meghan videos now?
I mean, I think I've done like 30 anti Meghan videos at this point. There's kind of like nothing left to say. It's like her victim narrative has been so run dry. I've like broken down how she seduced him and the shadow self, because there's so much psychology. And, you know, we talked about like, what's next for a non-celeb? Is it OnlyFans? Like if she did truly like a school for seduction of like, here is how you manipulate a rich man. Holy shit. Like I would sell my house to take that. Like that would be such a cool shift and such a cool thing. But she just can't unlock.
Well, she wants to be Amal Clooney, basically, or like Angelina Jolie. Right. Yeah, she totally sought him. I mean, a lot of women do that. That's, I think, what Raquel, the theory with Raquel on Vanderpump Rules is that she went after James to get on the show. So, you know, and I don't think there's...
Good for you.
Yeah, I don't think there's actually anything wrong with that. I was saying this on my Patreon. I don't think there's anything wrong with like being a fan of a celebrity and thinking, I mean, yeah, if you go into it as in like, I'm going to like destroy their life and like bleed them dry, yeah, then you're in the wrong. Right. But I think that if you're a fan, you're like, hey, I like this person on TV. I would like to be on their show. I also think we would like get along and be a good couple. Girl, scheme and plot away and make your dreams happen, okay?
Absolutely. I think that this is how women have operated, successful women have operated through society all throughout history. I mean, we see this from like king's mistresses and Cleopatra. It's like, only now are we in this ridiculous age of like, I need to tell him exactly how I feel. And I'm just going to subtweet like, you look like a fucking clown. Like, this is not the strategy. You are going against thousands of years of tried and true ways that worked. And Megan didn't. Like, she followed the script. And I'm like, oh, slow clap. But I just wish she could have inhabited this like, hell yeah, look at this guy I got. Ooh. Instead of somehow being like, I'm a victim here. Like, girl, what are you talking? You're a champion. What are you talking about? You're not a victim.
You won at life. Literally, you're like, you hit the fucking jackpot, girl. A B-list actress to like the most famous woman of her generation, pretty much.
Absolutely.
All right, look, we've recorded for so long that I literally have more questions, but we've just been going forever. So let's wrap it up. But wait, the last question, okay?
Yeah.
You've talked about this a lot before, but I did get a lot of people that were commenting about... It's just saying they love how you handled being cancelled. They loved your response to cancel culture. And yeah, you were totally right on that. And I think I've told you this before, but the first time I had you on the pod, I think this is like your third or fourth time on, but the first time I had you on, and I was already a fan of yours because I knew you from doing the Wendy Williams show. And then my one of my friends was a big fan of your like YouTube channel. He's like, you should get Shallon on. And I remember, I mean, I've always been outspoken on the pod since the beginning, but I've definitely got, now I'm like pretty much 95% me, but I remember asking you all about being cancelled and stuff at the time, and you were just very like, no fucking apologies. Like, there was not even a smidgen of like, and I remember kind of thinking... I remember thinking a little bit at the time, like, oh, I'm surprised she hasn't like reflect at all. And now, though, after being in the game for a while and knowing what it's like to have the Karens come after you and people being offended by everything, it's like, now I see that you were totally right on the money of like, fuck y'all. I don't actually owe you guys any fucking apology for anything. You don't know my life. And I think you handled it the best, like everyone said.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, if you back down an inch, then you're just, it's chum in the water. You know, they will never stop coming for you. But if you just position yourself as problematic from the beginning, it's like, oh yeah, there she goes again. She's problematic. Oh, well, should we dig up this? Like, oh, everybody did. It's like, she's just going to keep being like that. Yeah, sweetheart. I am. Like, I am the thing that woke culture breaks against, you know, and someone has to stand up. I mean, for girls and women, and I talked about like all this anti-woke stuff recently in my International Women's Day thing. And because I'm a TERF, I'm a trans exclusionary radical feminist, like, and I'm supporting, you know, great for trans women, but it's not the same as women, you know, and I'm here for women and I'm here for trans women, but those are two different lanes. They're not the same lane. There's two different ones. And people in the comments were like, thank you for saying this. Cause if I had these opinions, even remotely publicly in my own life, I'd lose my job. And that, like, that makes my blood boil that, you know, people out there are being so silenced. And so it's like, it's larger than just me getting canceled. It's like, we're all feeling canceled in our day-to-day lives just by our coworkers and media and our bosses and woke culture and the diversity training at work or whatever it is people are dealing with. It's like, no, that stops with me.
Yeah. And you've also got to be like, as a creator, I think authenticity is a big part of it because it's like, the people that either play the conservative or they play the woke liberal or whatever, they get tripped up more. But then if you're just keeping it real with your real opinions, like you always were, like the tide does turn. So it's like where we are now is very different than where we were like 3-4 years ago. And now people can go, oh yeah. Like, and people that have like stuck with you, there are probably a lot of people that were listening to you for a long time that like didn't agree with you for a long time on things. And now they've gone, oh, Shallon, you're actually like right about this. I mean, I get that all the time.
Totally. They tell me that all the time. Like, I didn't think that you were right, but turns out you were right. And it's like, that's great. Like, my brand is more than I told you so. And same with you. But I think exactly in this day and age, people who are just authentic and unapologetic, like the phrase I hear the most is breath of fresh air. Like, thank you for just, even if I don't agree with you, you're just speaking something that's truthful and you just don't seem afraid. You know, and once you get cancelled, like, there's nothing the left to be too. Afraid of. Yeah,
a lot of people say to me, "Oh, I don't agree with you like at all," but you know, I just love that you'll just like say whatever your opinion is on stuff because like so many people don't, and so many people. I always try to remind people of this too. When you've been in this space or you've been in the media or whatever, and you see how fake it is behind the scenes, like a lot of the people that y'all think are keeping it real, like that's an act.
Absolutely, and a lot of the villains are like playing a villain. Like I met some politician who will go unnamed because he's very conservative or outwardly very conservative, like huge MAGA bro, like MAGA bro boy poster child. And he's actually not, like, he's very moderate behind the scenes. And I'm like, baby, this needs to be yes. It's like, but you know, people are going where like the clicks are, so to speak, wherever the mob is sort of pushing them, whether that's monetization or it's like into silence in like their office or their friend group or whatever. And it takes a lot to stand up, but like, I'm lucky that I don't have a boss who's going to fire me. I don't have a husband who's going to leave me. It's just me and the dog. So, you know?
It's like, so it's like
if not me, then who, you know, if I can't stand up for people, then who?
Yeah, I mean, politicians fake it all the time. Like, I like Ron DeSantis because of the COVID stance that he took. Like,
for sure.
That's a big one for me, and he's the only one that I agreed with on COVID. But, like, I see a lot of stuff that he does, and I'm like, this is literally so fake. Like, you don't even – but, like, you're just literally doing culture wars, like, hot takes and stuff because you know it's going to rile people up. Like, I'm just mm-hmm. feel like I'm good at seeing through all those things. So, like, yeah, there's just so few people that are authentic. Do you have gay magazines? Guys in Montana for me.
Oh yeah, you're gonna meet some of them. They're very excited to meet you. I've shown your picture to all of my gay guy friends, and I have a great group of gays here, and they're very like, they're not like Brokeback Mountain gays, they're like very pharmacists and architects and blah blah blah, like they're just very adorable and dazzling and sophisticated.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, do you think I need to start, because you made this comment actually in one of your videos, should I start dating short guys? Because I have a rule of like, because I'm tall, so I'm like, they have to be tall. They mm-hmm. have to be tall. And then you actually made a comment in one of your videos where you were like, you know, charismatic guys, you can be as short as you want if you've got like swag. Kinda. Like, I mean, will you date a short guy?
I will. I'm only like 5'4", so I'm pretty short. So you don't have to be ultra tall to be taller than me, but I wear high heels and I like a tall dude's vibe, but like, yeah, I mean,
you don't need a six foot guy.
No, but they have to be taller than me in heels. But yeah, I think it's so different with gay guys, because I mean, it's like women should be shorter than the man they're dating. You know, that's like the typical aesthetic. But with guys, I feel like the world is your oyster because there's no such parameters for you. Like, one can be short, one can be tall.
No, I think gay guys are more picky than like.
Real, dude, you guys have set yourself up. How did you guys let this happen? You guys should be just thriving and never having to work out, and just, you guys should be doing what lesbians do, which is not caring anymore.
I would like that, actually.
It's so much pressure.
It is. It's like I was listening to what you were saying about your dieting and stuff, because I've been good with my trainer and everything, which I mean, but
yeah,
I can't get the diet under control. Like, just little things. Like, it's not like I'm ordering McDonald's every day, but it's like, I do have a sweet tooth and I'm really hard to cut that out. I will eat like at night, like things like that I can't do. And it's like the pressure with gay, like it is a lot. Like, you need to, well, you don't have to, but like there is sort of an expectation of like a lot of money, great body, like, you know, you just got to have it going on. So like, there's a lot of pressure.
We know what the typical ideal gay man looks like. You know, he is, holy shit. Like that.
Yeah.
He is.
I don't like that though. I just like normal bodies. But you know, I was saying actually recently to someone that, so I was like, yeah, I actually prefer even like a dad bod or just someone that's like, they're healthy, but they're not like, oh my God, I'm like trying to carve out like the perfect abs and stuff in the gym. Like, I don't care about that. But I was saying to someone that in the gay community, I almost feel like those normal bodies that are like a little bit more masculine or something, they're actually in much higher demand than the gym body, because it's kind of like every queen has like the gym body, but those those masculine, like, normal bodies that look more like just a normal guy, like, gay, because gay guys kind of, like, fetishize, like, straight guys and, like, some of those, like, qualities.
Yes. Oh, okay. So they look more straight when they look more, like,
lush. Sort of, yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just funny. It's just, like, it's very, I mean, gay guys are just very, like. You'll find
some nice corn-fed guys here. One of my other gay guy friends came to visit, and he's, like, very showy. We call him Michael the Musical. But, I mean, these straight dudes... Straight dudes were all over him, like sitting on his lap. I was like, I've never seen anything in public, like in bars, in small town bars. I'm like, you are saying you're straight. You're here with your construction worker buddies and you're like kissing my gay friend on the neck. Like, so there is, we're going to scratch the surface. when you're out here.
There's a lot of, you know, tranny chasers and guys that are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, okay, sorry, one last question. I know we keep going on and on. Do you think about that as a straight woman? Like, do you ever think about, oh, is my man like bi or into like trans women or something? Is that ever a concern?
It's okay. So typically, no. Like, I think it's a red flag if you ask a guy, it's like, oh, have you ever like fantasized? And they're like, oh. And it's like a really over the top reaction. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. The lady doth protest too much. But if they're like, yeah, not my thing, you know, I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I did. Okay. So I did date a guy recently who, was into pegging. Like I didn't do it, but this was a thing. And one night we were like kind of dirty talking. I was like, we should go to Vegas and we should get like an escort. And we'll get like a bisexual guy. And he can like maybe do things for me, maybe do things for you. And he's like, well, I don't know that I'm attracted to men. I'm like, he's like, but I really appreciate a nice cock. I'm like, that sounds like you're attracted to men. That sounds like you're attracted. Sounds like you maybe don't want to date men, but it sounds like you want to have sex with men. Right?
Like, yes, no, totally. I feel like men are just like very horny. I think that's why there are a lot of men that are into like us, like straight guys that are into pegging and stuff. Cause I just think men are just kind of like filthy. You know what I mean? Like men are just, that's kind of why as well. I had my friend Jess from the podcast Hot Takes and Deep Dives comes on the pod and we talk, she's a lesbian and we talk a lot about gay dating versus straight dating and stuff.
Oh,
and we kind of like, we did say that a man and a woman, like this is just the truth. A man and a woman is the ideal type for a relationship. Like not that gays are wrong or anything. Like you're born that way. Yeah. That is who you are. But a man and a woman is the ideal way that it is meant to work out in nature. Because it's like men are such fucking disgusting pigs and they need women to like pull them into line. Like they need women to stop them from going out getting fucking pegged and, you know, pissing on people and just being
glory holes. And I was like, this is what you guys do if we're not here with our like, you better don't buy the cow and the milk for free. Like all of this, like it's
well, look how gay guys, look how many gay men act together sexually. They are out of control. Like they're sex addicts. Like
I love it. I love it. I'm like, this is what freedom. I would love to be born again as a gay man because I would just be a hoe and a half. But here's a question for you. Do lesbians have a lot of sex? Because I had this conversation with someone the other day. I'm like, I don't feel like they're not, I don't know. I feel like they don't have a lot of sex. I have some lesbian friends. I never, ever hear them talk about sex. Ever. Or like one night stands or nothing like that.
No, and I think the whole thing with lesbians is that because women are like very emotional, they get together and then, you know, there's the whole cliche about the, you know, one date and then you've got the U-Haul moving in together and stuff. And I think they have crazy sex at first, but it like burns out very quickly. That's my understanding. Yeah. So they get all in the emotion of it. And then when reality sets in, it's a bit, I think they have trouble keeping that. Again, that's why kind of you need the man around as well to be like, I don't know. Men and women, they work the best together. They're not that gays and lesbians, like, hello, like they are who they are, but like, I feel like there's extra challenges.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously gays work just fine, like on both sides. But I think it might just be in terms of the balance of energies, men and women are like, you got to have someone pulling that horny dude back down to earth and a guy bending that bitch over the kitchen counter. Even she's like, I'm tired. It's like, you know what? We're doing this. Like you need that. Otherwise you have glory holes or you have lesbians who are just like couch love and like cuddly forever, and
literally
no one's ever having sex.
Okay, this was so good. We talked about so much stuff.
So fun.
I love it. I can't wait to hang out with you in Montana. It's going to be so fun.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. And we'll talk logistics in our chat.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out. I mean, I'm, like, very disorganized. So, thank you for always, like, chasing me up and stuff, because I'm just, like, a mess. I always joke now that I think I have ADHD, because I've done all these things, like, criticizing people for, like, faking ADHD. I'm like, I think I actually have it too. But anyway.
I think everyone has it.
Yeah, I think everyone does, for real.
Everyone has
it. Tell everyone where they can find you, what they can get from you, like, plug away.
You can find me on YouTube. I'm Shallon Lester. And you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at ShallonXO. And you've got some courses that you can sign up for if you want a course on how to manipulate your ex and get him back in 5 steps, or flip the dynamic of a fuckboy situationship. I've got a course on that at the link in my Instagram bio or in any of my YouTube video links. And I also have a new course on dating apps, 5 days to master dating apps. I'm going to tell you profiles, how to make one, how to swipe, how to go on a date, all of this good stuff, because I'm pretty darn good at it. So you can find those in the exact same place.
Yes, guys, check it all out. I'll have the links for all of Shallon's stuff in the show notes of the podcast. And thanks for listening, guys. And I'll see you next week. Bye.